do our annual event, like our gala. And we'll actually bring our clients to the gala as well, and then showcase their stories, which, you know, often happens quite often. And those are just a couple of ways that we kind of get that out. I mean, clearly we can't get it out to all of our clients because we serve over 30,000 clients on an annual basis, unduplicated. But when we have those points and times, we do that. And then just through social media as well, if we have, and we have appropriate media releases, we'll tell a client story very briefly on social media and through, you know, our website at times too.
Yeah, I think that's great. I know that we have started doing more and more client stories at our gala and a little bit more on social media. I think in our counseling department, our staff has been a little reluctant to approach clients, you know, about the possibility of sharing their stories. But I think they're getting more comfortable with sort of, you know, especially clients who are maybe a little bit further along in their treatment, you know, asking if they have permission.
Everyone,
so this is Jonathan from Stamford. So we definitely share client stories through email, through social media, at our gala each year. We actually last year produced for the first time a video to show at the gala, which we then subsequently put up on our website, and also use as follow-up to, you know, fundraising, you know, systems, you know, emails and things after the fact. We obviously do annual reporting for various organizations, including our Jewish Federation and for individual funders. One of the things that we have played with is whether or not we should be producing an annual report. We don't actually at this point produce an annual report. We, on the one hand, we recognize there's value in it. On another hand, because of the size of our community, we recognize that a lot of people believe in what we do, and if they know who they are, they provide us support, and we don't need another very expensive, glossy 16-page document to prove that to ourselves or to them. But we have been playing with that, and we also have been playing with the possibility of maybe doing some kind of merged annual report, because we do produce two like 16-page newspapers every year, one in the fall and one in the spring, and we've thought about maybe including pieces of an annual report in that. So that's sort of where we are as an agency. I think one of our biggest challenges is that we use outcomes to tell our story to funders who we know are already funders. We don't necessarily use our outcomes strategically to increase our fundraising per pool, shall I say, and we don't use it to just necessarily tell our story, although fundraising, of course, is part of fundraising, is telling your story, but we don't ever attach data without an ask. And I always wonder whether or not we should sometimes attach data without an ask. So we tried that actually just last week. Well, yeah, last week for Thanksgiving, where we sent out an email to our constituency talking about the 100 plus meals we gave out for Thanksgiving, and there was no ask attached. And we'll see if that actually without an ask attached actually engenders more giving than if there's an ask attached. And then I'll tell you the answer.
So this is Beth Wynn from Southern New Jersey. And we actually only ask for money like once during the year. So we actually send out the stories, and we did one for Thanksgiving that I'd be happy to share as well, where it was two stories with some end of the year stats, and basically just saying, thank you because of your support. Look at what we've accomplished. And that's kind of what we try to do throughout the year, so that when we go to give them the one ask, whether it is a snail mail or in-person ask, that they're going to give because they feel like they've been educated throughout the whole year and so feel excited about giving to us.
Yeah, I think that one of the things part of what I was interested in as well is, and I don't know how many people have programs that are accredited by CAR for Joint Commission or other similar types of agencies, but we're exploring accreditation in several of our programs. And one of the things that they always ask about is the way that you share outcomes with persons served. So, obviously sharing outcomes with funders is critically important, and it's part of what we do. But as far as the clients you're serving, I was wondering if people routinely had a mechanism to share outcomes with the individuals who are receiving services.
So in response to that, I can say that, There was a previous webinar that we had, which looked at a software which would allow us to collect outcomes on behavioral health and then share those outcomes with the clients. The belief being that when clients understand that their behavioral health is improving, obviously we hope it is, they feel good about it, continue their work, and improve even more. We haven't adopted it yet for a variety of reasons, which are not because we don't necessarily believe that's true. It's just, instituting that. I think a lot of our clients are older adults for whom using technology in that way may not necessarily match them culturally. And so I don't know. I mean, we certainly do have younger clients who would fill out a form and then get back results about how they did on a particular behavioral behavioral health assessment. But I don't know if that would fly for the majority of our clientele. And in terms of case management, it's very, very hard. We find it very, very hard to share with case management, to share non-anecdotally with case management clients about their growth, because our case management, if you're a case management client and you come because you are homeless and you are hungry, and then we provide you food and shelter, then you know we've done a good job. We don't need to prove that to you or share that with you. You've experienced it. But then there are other clients who pop in once and we never see them again.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So who are we sharing it with? Because we'll never see that client again. So those are some of our challenges.
This is Lee from Minneapolis. Mostly similar things in terms of client stories at the annual event, and certainly outcomes and data to funders and so on. I think the only things I could add are, one, as Jonathan said, we are actually looking at green space as well for individual counseling clients as a way to share the data to them. But beyond that, we don't do much in the way of sharing either individualized or aggregated data with participants or clients, I wouldn't say. We do occasionally do that. I'd say the main thing that might be useful to say is that somebody mentioned the annual report, and we have done what you are thinking of doing, which is incorporating it into an existing publication. It doesn't go separately. We have a three times a year do a magazine style publication. Used to be four. We're talking about dropping it down to two, but in one of those is just a two-page spread, which is the annual report sort of data. And then we incorporate that into that program highlights, which those program highlights do reveal, they may say number of meals served, or they may say number of volunteers, or number of people who got jobs and the average wage, depending on what's going on in a given year. So that's more with the community. Now, many of our clients and participants probably subscribe to that newsletter or receive our e-newsletter, in which we also share client stories and some of that data, but that's probably the closest we come to sharing that kind of data. With the board, we do provide updates on programs for every board meeting ahead of time. which are collected from program managers. I don't honestly think most board members read it, but we get enough feedback from those who do that we should keep doing it. And then we actually share it with staff as long as we've created it, omitting anything that's, you know, should just go to the board. And then for our strategic plan, we have a dashboard, one page, which really is about sort of what are the strategic priorities that different programs and departments are working on, and what are some highlights or some challenges. And that's provided ahead of and presented at every board meeting.
Is this Peter from Sarasota? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I neglected to mention that our agency also has a dashboard which goes to our board every quarter. But that's, I mean, that's not to clients. Again, that's to board members, although there are some board members who are clients.
Peter, go
Peter
ahead.
And Sarah, yeah. So similar to many with the social media, I think that's been a newer release for us, good quick stories and just feel good things that we're doing. But also we've incorporated a JSCS experience. Initially it was for board members and monthly when we would have a mission moment at our board meeting. We will have then the following month a JFCS experience in that service area or that program. So kind of what's their whistle in a 10-minute presentation, but then they have the opportunity to go live it. So recently we started expanding that to donors, to allowing donors to come and hear a client story or hear, you know, see the actual work in progress. We've done the video. We'll have another one at our gala in just a couple of weeks here. Also at our galas and special events, we have kind of rack cards or that type of card with stories in each service area kind of spread out so people could pick up different stories and see that. The annual report, we have done kind of the glossy, the big thick. This year we're going to do more of like a trifold. I haven't seen the final product, but much smaller but still hopefully impactful report. And then the other thing that we do with outcomes, certainly our PQI that we do, our performance quality improvement that we do as part of our COA process, we've incorporated now allowing their or asking our board members to come. So we'll get a few board members at every one of those, and they end up, once they sit through 2 hours, because our final PQI for each quarter is a two-hour process of going through all the different programs, they're on fire after that. So I wouldn't advocate for all of your funders or potential donors and things going to that type of deep dive, but certainly board members, if you want to get them to really understand, to be able to go out and help raise some money, it's a great opportunity for them to see the outcomes, hear the outcomes, and understand what we're doing for improvement.
You know, I had something, Beth said something, I think it was you, Beth, who said that you give all sorts of data, but you don't ask for money, just only twice a year. You know, I was told that whenever you, you know, ask, whenever you do anything, you always ask for money. Like, that's just a given. That if you don't ask, you don't get. And if they don't give, they don't give. But at least you're always asking. And it seems like if you have such great numbers and outcomes, you should be, you know, asking for people to donate to make it even better. But
So Lisa, that we absolutely, our philosophy is not what is typical, but we adopted this almost 14 years ago, and our fundraising has actually gone up exponentially. I think that in our community, there are, you know, within even like the Federation umbrella, that, you know, people are getting hit all the time with different asks. So I think they kind of appreciate the fact it's really just once a year that they're getting the ask. And so it's just, you know, it works for us. We do parlor meetings. We don't ask for money. It really is just about the education. And we've been able to be successful with our outcomes. And like I said, I know it's absolutely not what is typical in fundraising. You know, even when people get a thank you note, there's another envelope in there. It just, it's so not how we've changed things.
Right. I wondered what other people thought about that.
I know that we have been here in Houston trying to limit the number of times we go back to our traditional donor base and segment our donors by what we target them for so that they don't feel, you know, like we're using them like an ATM machine and just constantly asking them for money. So some of our kind of smaller friends campaigns that are more for bringing on board new donors, you know, might not be one that we focus so much on our high impact givers, you know, so we're trying to segment it a little bit so that people give in a meaningful way, but they feel like they are not being inundated all the time.
Yeah, I would say here, just to add to that, that here in Chicago, we certainly have a couple of specific solicitations, and we have a donate now button that goes out with our newsletter, but that's more passive. So the very specific call to action asks, we're careful about how many times we do it. We also have fundraiser parlor meetings where we do not have an ask, and that's partially in relation to our federation relationship and how we play that. But we really treat them as donor identification, cultivation, or stewardship events, and we're careful not to re-solicit at stewardship events.
It's interesting. It ties very much to the outcomes that we had our children's program, our children's counseling program, come and present their outcomes to a board meeting recently. And so the presentation showed what an amazing job they were doing, having impact on kids. And sort of strategically, the last slide was how long the waiting list was. And, you know, so the board had heard all this great stuff that we're really being effective, kids are getting better, parents really like the service, but oh, so sorry, it takes too long to get in. And then, although we didn't structure an ask, you know, the board sort of spontaneously said, well, I wonder what we could do about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the manager of the program wisely said, well, gee, if I had another staff member, I think I could get that waiting list down. And suddenly, you know, the board took on a fundraising project to help him get another staff member. So yeah. I think, you know, I think sometimes you let them come to you, you know, by telling a meaningful story. And sometimes you start with the ask, but the two, I think telling the story meaningfully sometimes leads to those opportunities.
Yeah, sounds that way.
So Carl, going back to your original question about sharing data with clients, certainly we do some of the things that everybody's talked about where we have client representatives from some of our programs on our board, so they get the data that way. We do individualized progress reports with our clients, but in terms of aggregated data, we do in our waiting rooms let our clients know that our annual report is up. We do the electronic version on the website, so rather than, we're pretty limited about who gets a print version in order to control costs, but
sure.
Lots of people get postcards that say it's up, here's how you get to it. So we put data there. And then the other thing, and this is a small way, but might be a way that we could learn. We had this same question around our client satisfaction survey. So every year we do a client satisfaction survey, which has a lot of really good data in it. And we realized we weren't reporting back to our clients. And so in the last year, we did an infograph report on satisfaction around different programs and feedback that we got from the clients and posted those in all of our waiting rooms.
Oh, that's nice.
It was an inexpensive way to do it. And actually it's a positive thing because it's clients see that most people are happy. So that's a good thing for clients to know that most people are happy with their service and doing better. So it's not quite the same as outcome data on the programs, but it is meaningful data that we're sharing back.
Yeah, no, I like that idea, and I like having the idea of having it available in the waiting room where people can interact with it. And then if they have questions, they have the opportunity to, you know, ask a staff member about it, you know, rather than it just showing up at their home when they're by themselves.
Right, exactly.
Do you have a copy of that that you could send to us and we can upload it on the in the resource library?
Yeah, I'll get that over to you.
Okay, maybe even the survey so we can see how they answer the questions, if it's ranked or excellent or I don't know how.
Do you guys want the clients to be able to have, are people interested in our client satisfaction survey? Is that a?
Absolutely, we do one, but I would love to see another.
Sure.
I just think it would be interesting to see how you turn it into the infographics as well.
Yeah. Great.
Do most people have an internal client satisfaction survey that they developed, or one that they're using from a third party vendor?
Ours is internal. We have one I can share.
Yeah, that'd be great.
One thing that we may want to think about, you know, just as a group for a future call, is whether there might be several questions that we would want to standardize across the network so that we could at least compare data to each other, you know, without the cost of going to a third party vendor, and then allow the rest of the remaining questions, you know, to be unique to whatever agency. But that way, at least we could share, you know, with each other, you know, kind of who's doing really well on what particular types of questions.
It's a good idea. Great idea. And the numbers of clients, so you see a difference.
Because I imagine that, you know, many of our surveys have similar types of questions, and it may be worth, if there's three or four questions that are almost entirely identical, if we standardize them, then at least we can compare across a bigger group.
Sounds good. Daisel. Can you hear us? Daisel, do you hear us? I'm not sure she does. Okay.
Hi, this is Brianna in Boston. I'm here with Barbara Perry. She's our evaluation manager. And she's going to talk a little bit about what we do.
Right. Well, in addition to things that people have already mentioned in terms of like annual reports, we put some key statistics that our marketing department works with the programs. One of the things that we've done to get back to clients for one of our programs is we survey them every year, kind of about not just satisfaction, but really about the impact that the program's making. And then I write a two-page summary with infographics. And then there's a link to that report that I write right on our website, so that anyone, clients, or anyone else interested in the services can click on that link and read the full report for how we've done for that past year. And we'd like to do that for more programs. Some of our programs also, if we do a survey, they will respond back to the clients, probably like in another email or a newsletter saying, hey, we heard you, and this is a change or two that we've made.
Wow.
The other thing about surveys, I do all the surveys, and I've found that you really have to tailor it for every program. So while we used to have some generic questions, over the years we've become much more specialized for each program. So we may get to satisfaction, but we will kind of talk to the needs of that program, something that really is appropriate for that program and the population.
I like the fact that you get back to clients and tell them you've made a change.
We try to. We'd like to do it
personal.
More.
What?
We'd love to do it even more, but definitely the program directors feel like people have taken the time to get to us. So when possible, we would love to do that.
All right.
We had an instance in our intensive outpatient program for counseling. It's targeted primarily for people who are leaving the hospital or trying to avoid a hospitalization, where the satisfaction survey, they all kind of coalesced around a recommended change. And when the program staff decided to make that change and then shared it back with the group that's where the change came from, it was a very empowering moment. So I think when it's possible, it's a great experience for the clients to know that we're not just asking, but we take it seriously.
I agree. What about you, Yulia? What's happening? Are you muted?
You're muted.
There you go. You have to unmute yourself. I didn't mute you. There you go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Right. So somehow that thing disappeared from my thing, from my screen. So we have pretty much similar systems and similar issues that everybody else discussed. I don't know that I can contribute anything new. We have talked about putting a library of stories together many, many, many times. But those stories, you know, if it's the same donors you're giving some stuff to, they want new stories every year. So, and new scenarios. So, yeah, and then we end up giving, you know, having similar service, services to be represented. We also have a similar issue with counseling clients being asked and whether we can even do that with the current clients versus somebody who is a past client. So we've had a lot of struggles with that, with those. I think pretty much everything has been brought up by everybody else. We're no different than anybody else, not in a better shape necessarily.
Do you do an annual report?
Oh yeah, we do an annual report. And then we also do individual donor reports for some of our larger donors. They get somebody who gave us a transportation endowment of $1 million got a booklet with all of our fleet pictures and whatever things that we could present them with. Somebody else who gave us a larger donation also got like a booklet with how their donation impacts. You know, it might be nicer, like glossy paper with pictures, something like that individual donors might get. But in general, or if it's a particular foundation, we will do a foundation like a regular kind of grant report looking thing with right. maybe a couple of scenarios and stories incorporated within it. But the annual report is published every year online, and then it's also given out to, you know, we have some printed forms too.
Yeah.
But we just created a new marketing director position. We've had it in the past, but it was basically the position mostly tasked with design to a degree, and then we decided to contract it out. Now we're bringing it back in house. So we have a communication manager, we have a marketing director. They are part of development department. What we don't have, and where I am sort of pushing, which we probably will have later this year, is more of an outreach position. Again, we used to have it in some kind of shape or form, somebody who really speaks on behalf of an agency, not just creates materials, but not necessarily from the development department. We have development staff, and we have us talking to donors, but really somebody who presents the expertise of the agency in the community. So that's what, you know, we have it on some level as sort of an add-on for multiple people, but I want a person singularly responsible for that without having to supervise programs and manage programs at the same time. So that's what we're trying to figure out how to pay for it. I don't know if you guys know, we just became one of the claims conference regional hubs. So we're responsible for 15 states starting August 1st, most of them. Then we added a couple more in September and October. So it sort of created a whole different infrastructure, a whole different setup. So it's interesting how everything gets shifted a little bit and infrastructure has to be strengthened. So it creates a change in how we operate in some ways.
Are you in charge of that regional?
People who report to me are in charge of that. So I'm sort of in charge. My job is just to make sure they have the right people, the right staff, the right infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And if something breaks apart, something falls through, I'm in charge of making sure it's fixed. But, you know, as usual, my job is to bring in sufficient money to get sufficient people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great idea to have a designated outreach, the person to go into the community to really talk about what it is that you do, because who's got time to do that, right?
I mean, we all do all it of you. In all a way you. All the time. We're all spokespeople for our agencies. Everybody on your senior managerial type staff basically has that responsibility. But we also are very lucky to have a person on our staff that is excellent in that. And typically these type of people cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So we already have her internally. She's absolutely excellent. And we keep asking her, do this, and also talk out in the community because that's her skill. She used to be a pharmaceutical sales trainer for the region and then sort of shifted and broke apart with that and wanted to do more mission-based work. Social worker by training. So it's an interesting combination. And really, really, really good at speaking. So that's, I think, because of that, we also have the right person. If an agency
Meant that you COOs are so busy, it's really hard to go out to meetings in the middle of the day to meet with chaplains or whatever it is that you're going, or meeting with synagogues or meeting with the Boys and Girls Club or whatever it is that you're trying to do when you have someone who's, you know, devoted to that and that's their job and they're good at it.
Right.
That's really terrific.
Right.
Yeah. So I keep on trying to get Daisel here. Can you, I don't know if she can hear us. It doesn't seem like she can, but she's got a lot to say. So she's not talking. So I tried to email her too, but I didn't hear back from her. So I think she doesn't know her camera's on. So I don't know, Lisa, do you have anything to add or Aaliyah, Denver, Cindy, if you're there?
I have, I thought it might be interesting to share our newsletter that we're doing now. Is that?
That's great. We can't see you, but we see your wall.
My office. See, hi.
Hi. There we go.
The camera's off to the side there. But is there a way to attach? I don't know how to attach.
Don't worry. Document. You don't know how to attach your camera to the phone? I mean, your camera.
No, a document. I wanted to share our newsletter.
Yeah, so go to the bottom of the screen. You'll see something that says share, a little green button. So click on that.
Okay.
And you should be able, we should be able to see your computer. Have you clicked on it?
Let's see. Like
there
that.
You go. Yep.
So if I...
Do you want us to see JFS Fall 19 newsletter?
Yeah, can you see it now?
You have to open it up. It looks like it's opening. It's just slow. Is it even circling?
I can see it on my computer, but maybe I'm not.
The other thing is if we're not able to do it during the call, you can certainly send it if you want, and Lisa could put it in the resource section of the site.
Yes, I'll do that.
Okay.
Double click again. You know why? You have to put it onto your desktop. It's not on your desktop, is it? It's in a folder somewhere. So take it out of there and put it onto your desktop, then open it up if you want to do it that way. Otherwise, you can send it to me.
Oh, let me see here. You can go ahead. I'll just play with it for a minute and see if I can get it.
Okay.
If you're using more than one screen, you have to make sure to drag it to the screen that we're seeing right now.
So stop sharing if you don't mind until you have it on your desktop and then try again, because we're all to the side and only five people are seen.
Oh, okay.
So when you stop sharing.
There you go. Are we good now?
There you go.
So was someone else, were you going to say something, Aaliyah or Lisa? No.
I don't really have any new information to share. One of the things I was curious about when you were talking about doing your fundraising and asking, do you include staff in that? And if so, what kind of response do you typically get?
So we do a separate survey for staff than for clients.
How about fundraising within the agency? Do you include your staff at all in any of your asks?
So here at JFS Houston, yes. We do, So like for our gala, some of our staff come and work, you know, and they get to participate that way. Other folks choose to make a donation and come, you know, kind of more as a guest. But as part of our annual appeal, we do include, you know, staff that want to make a contribution as well. But for important events, we try to, where we can accommodate, if they're, you know, maybe too expensive for the average staff to come, we might have a special price for them to come. And it allows them to participate at a level that's comfortable, but also allows them to then interact with other donors who might want to hear about the program. So I wouldn't say that they're a major source of revenue, but I do think it's, you know, we do feel it's important to include them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Well, if we've exhausted our conversation on this topic, we have other topics that you had suggested we talk about. I just don't have them with me because I'm not at the office. And we can pick up one of those. And I also can remind everyone that, or tell everyone, that we're going to be sending out at the end of the year evaluation survey. So we want you to really give us your feedback about affinity groups, what you think is working, what you think isn't working, what you think it could be better, all those kinds of things. No matter what you say, it'll be great. And just like we've been talking about evaluations, if we make a change, it'll be because of you. So, and we'll let you know that. So that would be good. I hope to get it out within the next 2 weeks. So that would be great.
Yeah, and we certainly would love to hear if people have topics that they would like to have on the agenda for future meetings so that we can make sure that we're hitting topics that are meaningful and top of mind to everybody, you know, as we go forward.
Yes. So, anyone else have anything they'd like to say to wrap up?
Thank you, Lisa, for putting this together.
Oh,
thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank Carl. Great. So we'll see you then. We'll see you then the next time, which I don't even know when it is, but I'll let you know. Do you know
when? Sometime in January.
In January? Okay, so that means happy holidays again.
Happy holidays.
Yeah,
see you next year.
Stay okay. Warm and safe,
bye,
everyone who snowed in.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.